And once again, welcome back as we're heading to that 9 a.m. hour. It is LA News Radio time is 8:36 a.m. And we have with us one of the more active members of the Suffolk County Legislature, a good friend of LA News Radio. I'm speaking of 3rd Legislative District Legislator is Jim Mazzarella. Jim's with us right now. Talk about a bunch of stuff going on with the county. Jim Mazzarella, how are you, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for getting up early, because it wasn't easy for me, let me tell you.
Hey, in the meantime. It actually worked out. I just, a good friend of yours just left my office, police officer Joe Verdi. He wanted me to send his regards to you. I'd like to give him a shout out, as he was awarded the PBA Delegate of the Year. So I had him in here this morning for a proclamation. And we took a photo, and he told me to send his best.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Again, it's almost like the unsung heroes of our police department. We have so many great officers that are out there doing the job every single day. And you've been such a strong supporter of law enforcement. And I guess that's part of what I wanted to talk about. Some people say we look at Albany and we find the fact that it's dominated by left-wing Democrats coming out of New York City. The governor is a Democrat. And I'm not saying anything about the Democratic Party. I'm just saying when you have a uniparty, it seems to be very difficult to govern. But then let's flip the record over. Remember the days we used to have records, you used to flip them over. And let's go to Suffolk County. It almost seems like the Republicans pretty much have taken over. But it seems like there seems to be good government going on. There isn't a type of government that's one-sided. How does it work for you personally to be able to work inside of an institution like the Suffolk County Legislature, now that we have Ed Romaine? He's a Republican county executive, and it seems like most offices are being held by Republicans right now at this current state of affairs. It's not like the state. It seems to be running pretty smoothly. But you're on the inside. What say you?
Yeah, so let's just stay with law enforcement for a second. Now, you know that the county exec ran on a platform of law and order. And I'll tell you what, that's happening. We graduated 100 new police officers yesterday. I attended the award ceremony a few nights ago, and the amount of awards of demonstrating valor and bravery and life-saving measures over the course of the last year have been amazing. And right here in my own district, I had a recognition of vaping products being sold to underage minors. And so I picked up the phone and called my local precinct, told them what was going on. They put together a task force in about a week's time, and they went into 9 shops locally in the Shirley Massac area and made 4 arrests, 4 different shops, and actually ended up confiscating 8,000 illegal vaping products, which was probably the second largest seizure in Suffolk County. So, you know, what I will say about this administration and this county executive, they're coming through on their promises for law and order. And if you look at what the DA has done, we are moving in the direction of bringing back law and order to this county.
Now, see, that's the consensus that I'm talking about. See, I wish we had this in Albany. You know, I wish we had the negotiations going on. Well, we got a problem. We got bail reform. We've got this whole idea that you've got to treat those who break the law more than fair. We've got to keep them out of jail and so on. And we've had an increase in crime rates, a reluctance to fund police departments the way they need to be done, or throughout the whole state of New York, not just with New York City, Nassau, and Suffolk County, which we're doing well out here. It just seems like with the type of government that is running the state is a lot different than the type of government that's running the county. Now, I've never been a big fan of one-party government. I've always felt that we should have a situation where there's compromise and we work things out and we represent the people. But in essence, sometimes it can work. And when we look at the legislature right now, and I could even ask you this, you get a lot of calls. You're, I'm going to use the word populist. People like you. I mean, I know that district that you're in, the 3rd Legislative District with the Massac Beach, Shirley area, and how important it is. Those people care about their communities. They go to the civic meetings and so on. They want to see you. You're there. You are to be seen and so on. But when they give you a call, and they ask for something, the response seems to be there. And there seems to be a consensus, not with other legislators, but with your constituents. Do you find that's happening?
I find it's happening, absolute. And I have to actually give kudos to my staff. No one calls here and does not either not get a call back or not get action on their complaint or not get an email back. My staff is on top of things. I have three great people in the office here, and they are on top of every issue that comes through this office. In fact, a lot of times we get issues that are town-related, state-related, federal-related, yes. and we handle them. You know, we don't just dish them off to someone else. You know, we know the players and the other levels of government, and a lot of times we solve their problems without them having to even make another phone call. So I think that's really important to be not only be out there with your constituents, talking with them, finding out what's on their mind, what's important to them, but it's actually dealing with their issues. And that happens in the office here, and that happens by good communication and follow through. And we are second to none when it comes to that, but I have to give all the credit to my staff.
And that's important. And it's also important that we get an educated and an active public. And I think that's important, too. And I say that a lot on my show. I'm saying it right now. Make sure you vote, but make sure you get involved with the issues that are out there. Local issues are so important. You know, the former U.S. Senator from the state of New York, Alphonse D'Amato, who I knew personally many years ago, they called him the pothole senator. Because he, even though he was a supervisor and it was a councilman in the town of Hempstead, when he was elevated and got elected through a miracle as a Republican in the state of New York to be elected as a U.S. Senator, he still handled these small items because he felt that puts you closer to people. And I think that's what I hear quite a bit. But the public still has to be involved. They still have to give you a telephone call. You know, you mentioned the vaping incident. That was, I guess, as a result of the public, of your constituents letting you know. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We got some calls from the public, and believe it or not, we got a call from another business person in the community that does things the right way and that follows the laws. And he was frustrated because, he knows more than the public how these things work. And he said, listen, this is, there's a proliferation going on here. So, and while most people say, well, it's harmless, and it's just vaping products or whatever, but they're selling to our minor population, you know. And I put a piece of legislation forth. We passed a bill on vaping products earlier in the year, and that had to do with manufacturers creating vaping products camouflaged as school supplies, such as highlighters, such as USB devices, pens, pencils, backpacks, and it's a tremendous problem in a school. And if we allow these type of products to be sold, it would really put a real taxing issue on the school's administration and trying to control some of that. So we can't just turn the other cheek because we think it might be something minor, because minor things turn into major things. You know that, Tom.
Yeah, and that's how people get unelected. I mean, I know a lot of people in the world of politics, and when you get elected to a particular job, it's 24/7. There's no other way. People say, well, Suffolk County Legislature is a part-time position and you can do something else, or, you know, you don't have to go to this meeting and that meeting. Unfortunately, for the person that took the job, they need to understand that. And so you certainly do. And you're out there, you know, again, meeting people and talking about them. You know, I had Suffolk County Executive Ed Romain on, and Ed has been around Suffolk politics and elected office for just so many decades. And when he took office, he's still a little, I don't want to say frustrated, because he's working really hard at it, but the mere fact that what was spent in the outgoing days of the previous administration and how money was spent, I think there was $27 million on the cyber problem that was almost like wasted. And he took that personal, because that's $27 million of taxpayer dollars. Were you folks, the legislature, the Republican caucus, were you brought into those discussions on what's the best way now to deal with the budgetary issues that were inherited, that we didn't get the best bang for our buck?
So we're actually heading into that season now, and I have the honor of serving on the capital budget group and the operating budget group since I've been in office, and we spend a lot of time, and we've been successful in either holding the line of those budgets or saving taxpayer dollars and reducing those budgets, especially the capital budget. So I think Ed's in there, and he's trying to take a even further approach at trying to create a balancing act, because what's also transpired over the years is that we've had a real decrease in our employees, right? So a lot of departments are down people. I mean, terribly down people. And what's the primary job of government? And that's to provide service. So in a lot of our departments, we are not providing service, and that is because our pay is too low, and we're not able to attract people. And sometimes we attract people, they get our training, and as soon as there's a job that they can make $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 more a year, they're gone. So that's something we have to do something about. And this is a big year. All the contracts in the county are up, as you know. I think there's 10 of them between law enforcement and the rank and file of blue collar, the AME. So this is going to be a big, difficult year, making those decisions, trying to get those salaries up, but at the same time, trying to create a balance so that we're not bankrupting this county again, back to those dark days.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, many of us remember that there was these deficits that were being run, the early years of the Bologna administration. There was just a lot of money. Now, going back to the prior administration, there's now discussion. Controller John Kennedy was on the program not too long ago and talk about ethics laws and ethics violations. We saw a lot of people that were in the midnight hour of their jobs with the prior administration. All of a sudden, lo and behold, making deals for county contracts, and that was all fine. They hired a lot of these contractors, but lo and behold, they got really good jobs with those contractors. There were a couple of cases like that. Is that something that should be addressed by the legislature, that you shouldn't use your position for your next position, and therefore that could compromise the negotiations you're doing on behalf of the taxpayer?
There's no doubt, and the timing of those deals were really what were glaring. I mean, some of those folks within a 2 month time were hired into organizations that received millions of dollars in funding. So, I think the timing is the issue. And I think what the controller, was looking to at least maybe initiate or talk about was that, if you work for government, you got to wait a certain amount of months or years or whatnot before you go in private sector to an organization that you either did business with or especially funded.
And that would make the most sense. You would expect that. We're seeing we're seeing that happen all too often around the country. I got a kick out of the last county executive. He got a job with Northwell Health or something like that. Northwell, apparently, that was a big recipient of county dollars and so on. And they gave him a really nice job. And I love his statement. He says, "I'm looking forward to learning about the medical business." Usually, when you learn about a business, do you really start at the top, Jim?
Come on, Tom. You see through that.
Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just thought that was funny.
Absolutely funny. And I'll just tell you from my perspective, Tom, I'm a guy who likes to get things done, who likes to get the work done, who likes to get the work done for his district. And, all that water that's under the bridge at this point, if those people are going to get taken to task, whether it be by ethics or the DA's office or whatnot, so be it. I personally, I don't get hung up on that stuff. I have a lot of things going on in my district, things that need to be done. My constituents need services and whatnot. So while I agree There's probably a lot of wrongs that need to be righted. But me personally, I'm going to keep moving forward and working every day for the people of the 3rd District.
Yeah, and I would say this. Too many times you're out there campaigning, and I'm talking in general. People have, and it's a shame, and I try to change that as much as I can by putting you folks on my particular program so they can see what hardworking elected officials are all about. But there are people that have a distasteful taste about politics and about politicians. And what we're talking about, that subject, that's exactly it. They think it's dirty. They think it's bad. But then when we get an opportunity to listen to people like you, Jim Mazzarella, John Kennedy's on the show quite a bit, Ed Romaine, you get an idea. People call me afterwards and say, wow, we really like those guys. They're really doing a great job. Ray Tierney is on all the time. He has a regular spot, as does Sheriff Errol Toulon. They're proud to have them as elected officials. So anything that we can do to reverse that negative image on government and politics, because I don't think politics has to be a dirty word. And I think it can be a source of good, and government can be a source of good. And I sit in a position by doing my radio program, by getting a chance to get to know you folks and to see who's real. And we've got some great people. We've got some great people in government and in elective office. We've got great people in bureaucratic jobs and so on. And I think that's important. So whenever there's any sort of ethical violations, that brings us all down, and I think that's negative, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just to go back to what you were saying about, you know, about the potholes, right? So, and we could probably talk all day about the move that Albany has put on to go to even year elections for the locals, but that's a prime example of where politics becomes more political. So now they want to move everyone in to even years, and guys like me who deal with quality of life issues, who deal with the fixing of the potholes and the roadways and improving water quality, ensuring, you know, people get their garbage picked up on time. Issues like that are going to get lost because I'm going to be on a ballot with state officials and the governor and everyone else, and my message is not going to get out. So they believe this is a good thing because there's going to be more participation. Well, I'll tell you right now, for local residents, local elections are the most important, and local elected officials are the most important to them. And if they can't learn about their local elected officials and about the things that their local elected officials are doing or believe in or plan to do, this is a really bad move. And I don't see any sense in what we're doing at all. And they want to talk about saving money. And this is a great initiative. If we're going to save money, we're going to put everybody in on the even years. If they were so interested in saving Suffolk County and Long Island's money, they would think twice about the congestion pricing they put in place in New York City for the poor folks that have to travel in there to go to work.
You know, I want to say, Jim, as you're speaking, we get a lot of people that listen to the program all the time, LNEAM with Jay Oliver and myself right now. And one of the great elected officials, as you and I were just talking about, and I put out a bunch of names. I neglected to say who is not only a great elected official. I just love this guy. He was my councilman in the town of Brookhaven. He's listening to you right now. Of course, his name is Dan Panico. I think you know who he is. And he wanted me to say hello to you, so I'm saying hello to you on the air. But he's one of the ones that I'm talking about right now. Talk about a locally constituent guy who the people of the town of Brookhaven, and he had a tough act to follow. Ed Romaine was unbelievable, but Dan is listening to us right now. So I want to say hello to Dan Panico. Thanks for listening to us. But he also wanted to say hello to you. And do you, when you work with his administration, it's got to be that relationship that you folks have to make it better for everybody.
I got to tell you, Dan and I speak on the phone probably 2 times a day, sometimes more. In fact, I'll be over there this afternoon. He is just one of those doers, again, a guy who wants to get things done. I'm going over there later this afternoon. Obviously, traffic is a big issue in our community here in the Shirley-Mastic area, probably not just the Shirley-Mastic area, but that's where I'm dealing with the meat and potatoes of traffic that is a huge problem. And Dan said, listen, the only way to deal with it is we got to deal with it. So this afternoon, I'm meeting with him on a town level. and we're bringing in state officials like Dean Murray and Joe DiStefano, you know, the senator and the assemblyman, and we're going to sit down and try and hammer out some solutions. But it has to be a multi-level government approach, because not one level of government can handle the roads. You got state roads that are going into county roads that are going into town roads. So it was Dan's idea to bring us all together and to try to map out some sort of a plan for improvement. And that's what Dan does. And the fact that I'm able to be a partner with him in government, we get a lot done locally. And I'm happy to work with him.
And let's mention Councilman Neil Foley again. You got to love that guy, too. I've had him on the program a couple of times. He's also listening. So, Jim, you're drawing the crowd. You're drawing the crowd. We got Neil Foley, Dan Panicle, all listening to Jim Mazzarella. Jim, thank you so much. Thanks for doing the morning show with us. I know Jay Oliver thanks you. And we'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Tom. And shout out to my friend Neil Foley as well. Have a great day.